Welcome to this REC, Retail and Entertainment Knowledge Community podcast on Designing the Magic, a workshop at the Los Angeles convention that Michael Lingerfelt and the Imagineers at Walt Disney put together to talk about the Disney way of doing design and construction, and particularly about visual thinking and placemaking. And with me today is Michael Lingerfelt, the organizer of that presentation and key member of the founding advisory group for the Retail and Entertainment Knowledge Community. Michael, welcome.
Hi, Ed. This is Michael Lingerfelt, and I spent 16 years as a Disney Imagineer designing places that tell stories through their architecture. In fact, today's program will discuss visual thinking and placemaking and how ideas are better expressed visually as opposed to verbally. One of the phrases we used to use were, when all else fails, use words. And our design process was called Mickey's Ten Commandments. And our approach was to design innovative and broader context spokes, the ideas of placemaking, and how a story can be told by the design of buildings, and how merchandising can contribute to that guest experience. And all the while, technology was a tool that we used. Before there was BIM, Building Information Modeling, we called it Virtual Design and Construction because we didn't know what else to call it. But Mickey's Ten Commandments start with knowing your audience. Understand what their goals and objectives are. They are coming to your place to see something that has never been done before, a place of relaxation, a place of work, a place of entertainment, a place of being able to shop. And I've been told that there's a big difference between shopping and just buying. So understand what their perspective is and where they're coming from. The old adage of walk a mile in somebody else's shoes is something that Mickey always wanted us to do. And to organize the flow of people and ideas. One of the things that where we get lost is architecture should be an uplifting, almost a spiritual event where our senses, our spirit is enhanced because we've experienced that space. And understand that there are five senses and use all of them in expressing that. When we talk about a Disney place, we have a place sequence. We have a pulse into a park. You know, you can't drive a nail by having the head of the hammer on the nail the whole time. You want to be able to retract and pulse. And one of those things is to have a flow of places that you can use to design your attractions or your buildings. One of the things to help in that is what Walt called a visual weenie. It is an iconic structure to help you understand where you are in space, in place. If you think of a Magic Kingdom, there's the castle. Tomorrowland has an Orbitron. You have the mountains. They help you give visual cues of where you are and where you want to go. And it also draws you into that space. Before 1955, with the opening of Disneyland, themed entertainment didn't exist. There was no themed restaurant. There was no themed retail experience. There was obviously some theme parks, but those were all dirty, for instance. And the banks even told Walt that this adventure was going to fail. And he wanted to do something different. He wanted to do something that created a place where the whole family could enjoy that experience. So we wanted to tell a story. Everything that we do tells a story. That's why you can't very well take a roller coaster and paint it black and call it one thing, or paint it green and call it another. In a Disney attraction, the ride is part of the story, and they are integrated into that. We wanted to create in a place where we have turn-ons. We want to be able to have unexpected results based on your architecture. When we had situations where a guest would be thinking they see one thing, but in fact they see something totally different. And as they go back over and over again, slowly the story becomes richer because they experience the hidden things that we have in the parks. For instance, when you're in Snow White, if you were to turn around and look in the window across across the way, you'll see that she's watching the whole time. If you look at, and we can neither confirm nor deny the hidden Mickeys in the world, and no, they're not three pieces of paint that dropped in a certain pattern. We took great lengths to understand how we could do that and express it in the architecture of the area development. In the Hollywood studios in Florida, if you were to be in an airplane, you could look down and actually see that Grauman's Chinese Theater and the placement of the lakes and everything else from the air is the face of Mickey. If you look at Expedition Everest and you have the Bayern curve, which is a Bayern is an inward ever-decreasing spiral, and the drop, those form two of Mickey's ears, but you'll never see it unless you're in the air. So those kinds of things are hidden things that are slowly revealed to the guests as an aha kind of moment. So this, it's all about the story. And there's intrinsic values both in landscaping and in architectural elements. Creating those kinds of places that you can experience parts of the world that you've never been to. And you've got a situation where you might never go to Africa, but yet if you go to the animal kingdom, you can see places and elements of that culture and expressed in a way that is uplifting. It creates interest, and you're going to want to try to understand what that culture is about based on a little thing that we've told. One of the other things, we had a situation where when they were designing Disneyland, Walt's next-door neighbor was an architect in Los Angeles, Welton Beckett. And Walt started telling the story of what he was going to build, and Welton basically told him, look, this is not normal architecture. This is something beyond that. So you're going to have your own group of folks that do this because this is not what we do. But if you think back in 1955, theming was to a level of attention, Kmart shoppers, there's a blue light special over in that aisle 5. That was the extent of theming. Nowadays, everything's themed. You can get themed restaurants, you can get themed merchandise locations, you can get themed parks, you can get even malls, and all of those kinds of things are part of the story and part of theming. But one thing that we want to do, now understand that Walt came from the perspective of the movie business. And whether it's a tight shot or a wide-angle shot, you have to be consistent in the shot. So you're going to try to tell one story. One story at a time is one of the Mickey's commandments that we want to drill into. So therefore, when you're walking down Main Street, you don't have someone from Tomorrowland coming across your path. The same would be true in architecture. You don't want to put, a Corinthian column on a Gothic outhouse, for instance. Those kinds of contradictions create disunity, and they break apart what you're trying to do. One of the things that we always tried to say was an ounce of treatment and a ton of treat. In other words, over-deliver. The guests, they are expecting one thing. Make sure that it is far exceeded. I had a friend who, for years, he and his family saved every nickel they had, and one year they had enough to go to a Disney theme park. And they went to the bank, cashed it all in. They had enough for one day and two nights at the park. Well, it turned out that story, as an Imagineer, it was our responsibility to make sure that all of that anticipation and all of that sacrifice was worth it. And you never know which of the 72,000 people in the park that day, that is their story. So therefore, you always want to make sure that you keep it up. And you create these places where it creates memories. If you think of a theatrical space, remember the old theaters in New York, the New Amsterdam Theater. It's an experience just to walk into that space. Your spirit is uplifted. It soars. And isn't that what architecture is about?
You know, Michael, two things that I remember from that workshop that really stuck with me. One was Joe Rohde talking about the layers of detail and how important that was in the design. And I think it might be useful to talk a little bit more about that. And the other one that I've used over and over again since then is how Disney Imagineers deal with value engineering. And the sort of visual thinking as it related to value engineering was, I thought, a great tool that I took away from the seminar. And I think those might be good points to make as well.
Okay. Layers of theming. When we did a facility, there were the normal architectural elements that everyone would see. But much like in a painting, there's layers of paint that add that richness to it. So consequently, we would bring in architectural ornamentation from Bali and Nepal and around the world, try to tell that story in a unique way. So you would bring in the paint, put in the distressing, making sure that the hardware told the story. Those were all kind of layers that were added to the architecture just to make sure that it seemed authentic. And we could do that. Value engineering is an oxymoron. It is usually done at the end of the project, and therefore it's just not value engineering, it's just cost cutting. In the early phases of a project, when we were doing the clay models of Expedition Everest, it looked like something we were doing first grade. But we would do takeoffs of it to figure out, do we have enough rock work or do we have way too much? Those kinds of early decisions can affect 80% of the cost of a structure in the first 20% of its schedule. One of the phrases that you will never hear an Imagineer say is, I can't. Because if you use that word, you've already told me that you've dismissed your brain from engaging in an opportunity to where you can figure out the solution. And architects are problem solvers by nature. And so consequently, or in those early design meetings, we would sit there and look at thousands of different options. We would cost them out at that point. And with the advent of BIM, it is advantageous to use those skills as an architect early on in the design process so that when you get finished with your drawings, you don't have to go back and redo everything because somebody's come up with a clever idea to reduce the price by 1%.
Thanks very much to everyone for listening to this podcast from the Retail and Entertainment Knowledge Community on Designing the Magic. And if you're interested in getting more involved in the Retail and Entertainment Knowledge Community, you can add that to your AIA.org account, and we would be more than happy to have you. Thank you.